FA Cup semi-final and Premier League Match Day 34 picks edition of the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code PLGP to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, with the NFL draft coming up, old-fashioned football on the network is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFFcontest to enter today. Welcome, everybody, to the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Thursday, April the 18th, and we are here to have a look around the European midweek, which finished about 10 minutes ago. And then we've got a 9-game card from two competitions at the weekend, 7 Premier League games, and 2 FA Cup semi-finals to get our teeth into. Joining me, first of all, as per usual, from somewhere in Nottinghamshire, is Mr. Barry Penaluna. Baz, what's happening? You're on mute, you doofus.
What a terrible start. I don't even normally mute myself at the beginning. Don't even normally mute anymore, just to avoid that. But failed again. Otherwise, I am all good, Malcolm. Thank you very much.
You are very good. And if you are live, you might have noticed we had there's a third face on the screen tonight. From Oddshark, we have a guest, Mr. Andrew Avery. Andrew, how are you? Thanks for joining.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, first of all. But second of all, the timing of this is a bit weird because me, as a Tottenham fan, I'm hopping on here with a couple of Newcastle fans fresh off our worst defeat of the season. So just a weird coincidence there. So thanks for that.
Why do you think we were having you on this week as opposed to all the other weeks when Newcastle got beat? I went to the match with a Tottenham fan last week, Andrew. So that was loads of fun. And the last game at St James's Park he'd gone to before that was the 7-1. Newcastle beat them 7-1. So he automatically became everyone's lucky charm in the pub. So he was really upset, but everyone else was delighted with his presence. Andrew, tell us a little bit about Oddshark in your football or soccer past, and what do you do there, and what can we expect if we go and find some of this stuff over there?
Well, Oddshark.com is your one-stop shop for sports betting stats, editorial content, videos, trends, betting tools across a range of sports. NFL, of course, MLB, of course, some footy as well. Personally, my job with Oddshark.com, I'm sort of the head of video, so I oversee all the video content that we're cranking out. You can follow us on YouTube. But yeah, and as far as the football goes, we have a sort of a bond here because I became a Tottenham fan sort of like late 90s, early 2000s because of a fellow goes by the name of David Ginola. I know you guys are familiar with him. So that's why I've cursed myself for decades of heartbreak with Tottenham Hotspur Football Club is because of that French winger.
Yeah, he was absolutely unbelievable. Very popular with the ladies as well back in the day and still now, actually. David Ginola. The chat is live and kicking as always. Kyle was first in. Courtney and the rest of the Backers family maybe as well. Lee Smith, how do? Coisty, I haven't seen Coisty for a while. Anything to say on Rangers defeat at Ross County last weekend, Coisty? We were missing you on Sunday night. And Sam Marsh has been a little while since we've seen Sam. Sam, how you doing? It was a great week of games. I think it was a great week for all English football supporters as Arsenal got knocked out. Man City got knocked out. That was funny. Liverpool got knocked out. Very much enjoyed that. West Ham got knocked out. Also enjoyed that. Villa went through. I had no real strong feelings about that. there was some mild madness in the Villa game at the end where no one knew what was going on when Martinez, we thought, had been sent off and then wasn't sent off. And me and Baz were as confused as everybody else. But, yeah, Baz, I mean, as per usual, what's with a slow start, Barry, every week? I blanked on Tuesday and I have to come from behind every week. It's like I can't make a pick unless I'm in a hole. So I blanked on Tuesday, fought back on Wednesday with the under in the Man City Madrid game, which we did say we would reconvene here and everyone would sort of carry me shoulder high around the living room after that pick. And then tonight was the short one, Villa with both teams to score, so got away with it in the Europa League. But mainly, Baz, it was just a fun slate, and you did well on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I said when we were doing the picks, it looked a really entertaining week for the Champions League because all of the games were in the balance. And it was a tale of two nights, really. I was rock solid on Tuesday. I took the Dortmund team total. I took the PSG team total. And then on Wednesday, I blanked and you hit everything on Wednesday. And tonight, I thought I was going to hit the two picks tonight. I took Marseille, were a decent price, money line pick. That came off. And my other pick was Roma v Milan under 2.5 goals. 2-0 in the 88th minute when Milan nicked one. Milan were playing against 10 for a big chunk of that game. So I always felt like I was going to be up against it. Milan did create a lot of chances. But really, I felt a little bit unlucky not to hit both tonight. But overall, you know, three winners from the six picks. Come out of it okay. And just a goal away on everything. I needed one more goal in the City game. Would have got me my both teams scoring over 2.5. And one more buy-in game. We got me the buy-in team total. So I was close on everything that I didn't hit. But an enjoyable week of football, some good games. As you say, that Villa game tonight was mad. We all thought Martinez had been sent off in a penalty shootout for a second yellow card, which I'd never seen before. And nobody knew what was going on. Apparently, you can't get a second yellow card in a penalty shootout. It starts again. So your yellow card in the game doesn't count. I never knew that. And I don't think most of the world knew that because the commentators didn't know what was going on there. Very entertaining. And I just said off air, the Liverpool game, I was a little bit disappointed with Liverpool tonight. Got the goal early on. I thought it was a fortunate penalty. I thought it was a little bit harsh. But having got the early goal, I thought they'd go for it. And they just never seemed to. Even at half-time, 1-0 up, you're thinking if they can get one more before the last 10 minutes and then just go for it. But it just never came. Second half, they had two shots on target the whole game. Two shots, no shots off target. Whole of that second half, that was it. Just never really got going. It was a little bit disappointing from them. I expected them to be flying at them. But credit to Atalanta, great result for them.
Do you think there's potentially an element of Liverpool maybe not prioritising the FA Cup and turning their sole focus, turning their sole focus onto their chase for the league?
I thought there was potential for that, but then when you've seen the starting lineup tonight, if that was the case, I wouldn't have expected it to be as strong because the only changes they really made tonight was Gakpo came in for Darwin,
yeah.
Endo dropped out for Jones, but other than that, it was a full strength Liverpool side, and even the changes he made, you know, it was bringing on Jota, Nunes, Elliot, so. Because I thought the same. I thought, well, let's see what the lineup is before we look at how we play this one. But yeah, a little bit disappointing from them in the end.
When that early goal went, when they got the penalty, I just thought, oh, here we go. It seemed unavoidable, and then nothing happened. You're right. It was really, really underwhelming. Very much in the side of how they have been playing recently. They failed to score against Palace at the weekend, and I thought the same with Arsenal. I got the Arsenal pick right, and we said they seem to have this mental block of not being able to go in turning the screw, not being able to make something happen in the big game, the 1-0 at Porto, the 0-0 at City. You've got, at some point, you've got to go and win a game. And they couldn't do it again and never really looked like doing it. So we read those games pretty well. So, Andrew, the Champions League this week, Tuesday night, was an absolute madness. Goals galore everywhere. What's the Champions League perception in your country? Because you don't have stuff like that. Your world champions all come from in the same country, etc. So when you get in the Champions League, is that something that people enjoy?
Champions League is massive here. I'm in Canada. The football has taken off insanely in the last you know, sort of decade or so. Champions League Tuesday and Wednesdays, even like even Europa League, the international fixtures in those midweek, it's huge. We love it here. I was a bit shocked, honestly, at both results on Tuesday. I thought Atletico had a nice chance here to make a little noise and make a deep push in the Champions League. I didn't rate Dortmund at all. And then, of course, if Arjao doesn't get sent off in the Barca-PSG tie, then, like, you know, are we talking about PSG today? I don't know. But they look damn good, certainly, you know, after they went after Barca went a man down.
Callum has just joined us. I think Callum's purposely missed the first 10 minutes of the show to avoid the Liverpool chat, but came just in time for Barry to pan them. Jack as well. Jack's had some winners today. Darts, football and darts parley. A little lacquer on the football and the darts. I love that, Jack. Proper degen activity. With Andrew being in Canada, what a segue this is. I'm very professional. This tells you it's a great time to get in on the Stanley Cup playoffs this weekend with the puck dropping. The Hockey Gambling podcast, people have got you covered over there. Talon, Ryan and Joel breaking down every series leading up to Saturday's opening games. And keep the picks and laughs coming all postseason. Subscribe to the Hockey Gambling podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Callum stumbled, Barry. He stumbled dazed and confused into the MLB chat last night. I'm not sure if he knew what he was doing in there, but we enjoyed seeing him in there. He just sort of wandered in, scratched his head, looked around, disappeared off again 5 or 6 minutes later.
Yeah, he turns up everywhere. He doesn't sleep, Callum. Doesn't matter what time of day I go on any social media, Callum will be there. So he's around.
Callum's, you can tell Callum's a young person. That's the issue there. Right. Do you want to do the Premier League or the FA Cup first, Baz?
Well, I've went Premier League first in my handicapping. So let's dive into the Premier League and then finish off with the highlights, the semi-finals.
Okay. So the 7 Premier League games, 3 Saturday, 4 Sunday. There is 1 FA Cup semi on each day, which we'll get to later. And we will start with no lunchtime game on Saturday. So we've got 2 3 o'clock games. Both featuring big games at the bottom of the table. The first one is Luton Town taking on Brentford. Luton 21-10 plus 210. The draw 11-4 plus 275. Brentford 15-13 plus 115. This was a game I thought, like, if you've ever been on like the debate team at school and they give you the side of an argument to make, you could make either side dead easily. If someone said to me, make an argument here for Luton Town or make a case for Brentford, you could, because there's bits and bobs there. So I thought of all the 9 games we're going to look at tonight, this one was a feel game. This was like a bit more of a gut. What do you think's going to happen here? Luton have remained competitive. And I think the key piece of form handicapping them is the 2-1 win against Bournemouth in the last home game. Very a good comp game for this one against Brentford. Brentford were trending in the right direction with 3 consecutive draws and then got a home game against Sheffield United and did what they had to do. They went and won it. So Brentford have been going okay. However, I just think Luton are going to get at them. I don't trust Brentford particularly. And we've seen Luton in these positions that they're a good price here. I'm going to take Luton Town to win 21-10 plus 210, Baz.
Yeah, so this one was quite a straightforward one for me. I couldn't really get my head around why Brentford are favourites in this one. I think Luton look better value, like you. Neither team are in particularly good form. Brentford beat Sheffield United last week. That was their first win in 10. Luton have just 1 win in their last 10 also. But Brentford away form is absolutely horrendous. They've lost 9 of their last 11 away from home. And Luton have picked up 4 points in the last 2 games at home. They had a draw against Forest. And the win over Bournemouth you've mentioned, which I think is a really good comparison game for this one. If I was taking a cautious approach, Malcolm, Luton draw no bet would be a one I would like at around just above evens, around 5-4 plus 125. But like you, I think Luton are a good price, 21-10 plus 210. So my pick, Luton v Brentford, is also Luton to win at 21-10.
Okay, 2 out of 2 for Luton. Andrew, no pressure. What have you got?
I'm completely aligned here. Like, yeah, and you're right. you know, you can make a case for either Luton, very banged up coming into this one. Adebayo hurt. He's been pretty quality in spots this year. Jacob Brown, Tom Lockyer, Sambi Lokonga looks doubtful. I mean, the list is pretty long for Luton. Brentford thrashed Luton in the reverse fixture. They've almost washed themselves of that relegation zone stench. And even though Luton is in the relegation zone, and to your point again off the top, I think Rob Edwards has done a pretty good job this season considering the makeup of this squad. Like, Ross Barkley has been dynamite this season, and they've stood up to some of the bigger clubs in the league. So, like you guys said, Brentford terrible away from home, and I agree. I think Luton can grind a result here, and I'm going to take the conservative approach as well. I like Luton on that handicap of zero plus half goal. I feel pretty solid about that, to be honest. I like the look of Luton.
Okay, sure. Yeah, it is the team, right? Lee Smith very rightly points out that everyone should back Brentford now because we've all taken Luton. If you don't know Andrew, our listeners are very shrewd. So when we're all confident, absolutely, they'll all be queuing at the window to get on the other side. Okay, next up is Lee's team. 3 o'clock kickoff. You're going to love this one, Lee. Sheffield United taking on Burnley. Sheffield United 7-4 plus 175. The draw 13-5 plus 260. Burnley are 6-4 plus 150. Barry, lead us off.
Yeah, so I didn't want much to do with either of these on the money line. You can see why they're so close with the books. Not a lot splitting them. And I don't. It's just one of them games where I don't think there's any outcome that would come as a big surprise. Either team could win it, draw. None of that would surprise me at all. So I looked away from the money line. Both teams to score is hitting often enough for both sides. Four of the last five for Sheffield United have seen both teams to score. And five of the last six Burnley games have had both to score as well. That one's a little bit short at 8-15. So I'm going to tag on the over 2.5. I think someone will nick this. Maybe it's a 2-1 or something like that. Gets me about 10-11. So -110 for both to score and over 2.5 goals. It's last chance saloon for both of these teams. And I think both will go for it. They know if they come out with anything but a win here, that's it. It's toast and it's game over. I mean, it's almost game over, even if they do get a win. But I think there's enough there to suggest we'll get some goals out of these teams. So, yeah, the pick Sheffield United Burnley for me, over 2.5 and both teams to score. 10-11, -110.
Lazy pick, Baz. The lazy pick. Andrew, Sheffield United Burnley.
Yeah, again, another tough one. The Sander Berge Derby, I like to call this one. Don't mean to offend the audience, but, you know, Sheffield United, not a ton of positives this season. Obviously, I do like Ben Brereton-Diaz. I thought that was a good pickup. He's a good number nine for them. And look, I can respect Vincent Kompany and the way he has this Burnley club at least thinking about football after years of Sean Dyche and the 4-4-2. It's sort of refreshing to see them try to, you know, play what Kompany wants to do, like his interpretation of Pep and City's tactics. They just don't have the personnel in there. Like, I kind of agree. Like, I don't think I'm going to have any action on this one, but like a punt on the Burnley money line at like plus 145 or thereabouts, I don't think that would go amiss in this situation because, again, much like the last game we talked about, any outcome is in the cards here.
Lee's giving us the Sander Berge and his name Gustavo Hamer. Card double, yellow card double at 12-1 there, Philly. I didn't give myself many options on this game because I took Burnley last week against Brighton at round about the same price, actually. It might have been about 7-4. I took Burnley, and I think I was an unlucky loser. The dopey goalie let that one roll under his foot, or I would have been over the winning line. So at this price, against similar opposition, I've got no reason to change my mind. The reason I took Burnley was, I thought they had a win in them. Kompany was saying how well they'd been playing, even though Lee disagreed. But I've got to take Burnley again, really. I painted myself into that corner. So I'll take Burnley at 6-4. Plus 150. Game on Saturday night. We go to 7:30 on Saturday night. And it's Wolverhampton Wanderers taking on Arsenal. Wolves are 17-2 plus 850. The draw is 4-1. Arsenal are 9-25 minus 277. Andrew, it's been a tough week for Arsenal. Can they bounce back on Saturday night at Wolves?
Yeah, I mean, a terrible run of matches for the Gunners. I say that with tongue firmly in cheek. But potentially a good, you're right, like a good spot for them to bounce back this weekend, I think. They've beaten Wolves in five straight in the league. They've outscored them 12-2 in those five matches. Wolves without Pedro Neto, who is such a great, fun player, unless there's been a change there. Arsenal going to be desperate here. They do have some tough fixtures coming up. They've got Chelsea at the Emirates, I believe. Spurs away, United away is going to be a tricky one. They're going to need all three this weekend. That said, I do think Wolves find the back of the net here. They've only failed to score in one home game this season. While this one could very well be Arsenal winning by multiple goals, I think Wolves do find the back of the net. Wolves over half a goal, minus 130 or thereabouts for that.
Okay, that's a nice price actually for that. Baz, what are you thinking?
Trying to scroll my notes here. Tough week for Arsenal. I think no disgrace in going out to Bayern in the Champions League in a tight one as well. But the defeat to Villa and the performance that went along with it will be a bigger blow to take, I think, for them. So then can they dust themselves off and get back on track here? I think probably the answer is yes for me. I've tried fading Arsenal in recent weeks. I kept saying I felt there was a slip-up coming. I favoured Bayern in both legs. I favoured Bayern to get through. Took Villa at 10-1 last week. But I did also get it wrong when I took Brighton to keep things tight against them. I took Brighton on the handicap a couple of weeks ago. And I felt at that time, Arsenal's away form had been patchy enough to suggest Brighton might have made a game of that one. But the Arsenal performance that day was really efficient. Away from home, really good performance, good result. And I think it's a good comparison for this one here. Wolves have dropped off a little bit, not winning many games. Lately, just one win in the last six league games for Wolves. They had a fairly straightforward run of fixtures there as well. Lost to Villa, Newcastle, West Ham. They failed to beat Forest and Burnley, picking up draws against them. They had in the Coventry defeat in the Cup as well. It's not been a great period for Wolves lately. So then where do we go? Arsenal at 4-11 is a tricky one to start with. But I'm confident enough in Arsenal here. I think they'll bounce back. And I think they'll win on the handicap. Arsenal minus 1.5 at evens. Plus 100 will be my pick here.
I'm going completely the other way. I think Wolves are huge. You know, I've been seduced by Wolves Barry nearly every week this season. But plus 850, the price is just far, far, far too big for a team who might just be collapsing. We don't know. We saw them get beat last week. We saw them get beat midweek. And they did this last year. After the last international break, they just absolutely fell in a hole. And Wolves aren't a bad side. Like, Wolves are very competitive. They've beaten Manchester City at home already. So all the options that you boys have mentioned are absolutely on the table. I just think Wolves are far too big a price. They should be 5-1, something like that. So 17-2 plus 850. It's just too big, that's all. So I'm going to take Wolves. If you fancy something with a safety net, the Wolves double chances, 2-1, Wolves or draw. I think that's a great bet. Like, so Wolves double chance, 2-1. But yeah, let's go all in. Wolves to beat Arsenal, 17-2 plus 850. Okay, we'll move across to Sunday. Firstly, I need to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Play the pick'em game. It's dead easy. Just pick higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and plenty more. You can make your entries all basketball, or you can mix and match across your favourite sports. Win up to 100 times your money, and it's loads of fun. Underdog is available in over 30 states, including California, Texas, and even Canada, Andrew. Good news. So there's a pick 'em special for the Friday play-in games, which is tomorrow, 19th, that just specifically for Sports Gambling Podcast Network listeners. So the special will go live in the lobby for eligible new customers that sign up by the morning of the 19th. Double your first deposit with the code PLGP. Underdog, double that up to $100. Underdog Fantasy, promo code PLGP. Sunday, 1:30 kickoff early is Everton taking on Nottingham Forest. Everton are even money. The draw is 5-2 plus 250. Forest 11-4 plus 275. Even money on a team supposedly fighting for their life who just got tonked 6-0. Absolutely no chance you're getting me involved in Everton. But I didn't make a handicap for this because Dave Horan's Duffelcoat, issue 13.75 pence, messaged me the other night. And I just said I would read his WhatsApp message out as my handicap. So here we go. Get your house on Forest at the weekend. It will be feral at Goodison. They are shite. Not sure they are better than anyone else. Weak as piss. And that's Dave, the Everton fan. Nice and succinct handicap with the game. I'll take Nottingham Forest, 11-4, plus 275, Baz.
Yeah, I mean, two of the strugglers here. And I think it's a massive game. Big opportunity for one of these to give themselves a bit of breathing room. If either team loses, keeps the pressure right on them. And particularly with opportunities for the teams around, we've already talked about Luton v Brentford, Sheffield United v Burnley, games which are wide open. Everything's on the table in those. So the team that loses this one, if a team does indeed lose this one, could find themselves in a bit of a sticky situation after the weekend, depending on how those other games go. Everton won one of the last 10, and that was a gift from Burnley as well, by the way. Exactly the same as you. I can't have Everton at evens. Forest, I think, only have 2 wins in 10, but that's twice as many as Everton. Fulham and West Ham, they beat. They were both home games, though. Forest aren't winning many away from home. But recent form, they aren't losing many. They've only lost one of the last 5, throwing in a lot of draws. We both took Forest for the draw last week versus Wolves and picked that one up. I thought about the draw here, but I wanted to keep Forest on my side. So you've been quite bold in taking Forest as an outright pick. I've took them on the double chance, 4-5, I think, to have the draw on your side as well. It looks a really solid price. So the pick for me, Everton v Forest, is Forest double chance to win or draw at 4-5, minus 125.
Andrew, our Burnley fan, in the chat before, when you were talking about Sean Dyche, was said that's all correct, but he would have kept Burnley in the division. How do you feel about this Everton team in this game against Forest?
Look, Everton is such a weird, strange team to me. There have been moments earlier this season, especially, where they look kind of okay. Like, they look pretty solid. I'm waiting for this Everton team to score like 4 goals in a game. They are by far the most underachieving team in the Premier League. When you look at a stat like expected goals, they have 53.46 expected goals. They've scored just 32. That's an insane difference. So there has to be a match in this run-in for Everton where they just score goals for fun. So I think maybe it's this game this weekend. I'm going to keep it slightly conservative. Everton over 1.5 goals at around even money. Maybe public money sort of comes through in the coming days that gives that a bit more value. Yeah, the Chelsea result was a very rough look for Everton. They need something good to happen. And they, the way they've been playing, 2 goals this weekend, a point, or all 3, would be a great step forward for a team that I think has underachieved drastically this season.
Okie doke. So
we've picked up on that XG stat a few times across the season because they've been on, you know, falling behind on that for a long time. I took the same pick as you a couple of weeks ago in the game against Burnley and still got my fingers burnt, even though they only won 1-0. Bold move. But as you say, they are creating enough chances. They just don't look like putting them away at the moment. But could be right. Could be one of those games.
A little bit of positivity anyway, because me and Baz haven't given Everton much slack recently. So Dave Horan and his Duffelcoat might be a little bit happier with Andrew's pick. 2-3 o'clock kickoffs on Sunday. The first one involves Aston Villa, who sneaked past Lille. I thought Lille were very good tonight, by the way. I'll have my eyes on Lille for various things in France and Europe next season. Aston Villa take on Bournemouth. Villa have drifted here. I'm guessing line movement report, just because they played extra time. They were 3-4, minus 133. They are now 4-5, minus 125. So just a little drift with an extra half an hour in the legs. The draw 16-5 plus 320. Bournemouth have shortened from 3-1 to 14-5, plus 280, Barry.
Yeah, so Villa, a little bit shorter than evens. You just mentioned the price has moved, which works out well for me because it was a little bit of a short one. It's got a bit better, my pick here. I thought they were a price I can get on board with. They got back in the winner's enclosure last week with a really good win over Arsenal. They'd won just one of their previous five in the league before that. But I think that win last week could be a bit of a springboard for them to try and push on and try and snatch that top four spot. It's there. It's up for grabs. They really, really need to be winning these sort of games at home. And Bournemouth, I've talked Bournemouth down for a bit. They've lost just one in the last seven league games now. But I talked again and again about five of those games were against bottom five sides. Five of the last six games have been at home for Bournemouth. The only one they played away was a defeat to Luton. They've only won win in the last five away games. So don't be skewed by that Bournemouth overall form. Look at how many of those games were at home. Look at their away form. It's not very good. Short one here for me. It's Villa to beat Bournemouth on the money line. I had it down as 3-4 earlier. So 4-5 is lovely for me. I'll take Villa to beat Bournemouth at 4-5, minus 125.
Well, I'll jump in front of the queue then, in front of Andrew, because I've just got the same pick for the same reasons, Baz. I had Villa down at 3-4. I'll happily take them at 4-5. They're considerably better than Bournemouth, even if they make a couple of changes. Maybe John Gerrard might get a run. I mean, Leon Bailey just come off the bench. He looks like their best player, and he comes off the bench every week. But Bournemouth have played well. They were decent against Manchester United. But that last away game against Luton was a worry. So, yeah, I'll co-sign that, Baz. Villa on the money line. Just looks like a nice cornerstone. Maybe a little acca, a little parlay piece. So, yeah, 2 out of 2 for Villa, Andrew.
Yeah, and this makes for terrible podcasting, but, like, I'm in the same boat here. Like, Villa moneyline, I was putting my notes together, minus 130. You talked about the line moves since. And it's just, we don't need to get cute here. Villa at home is different. They are very, very quality when they line up at home. And I know it's boring. They were perfect against Arsenal, really. I don't think this requires anything too cute. Villa moneyline, I think, is the play here.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that at all, Andrew. Big fan. Next up, 3:00 on Sunday, Crystal Palace taking on West Ham United. Crystal Palace are 11-10, plus 110. The draw 13-5, plus 260. And West Ham are 23-10, plus 230. Andrew, lead us off with Palace v West Ham.
Yeah, interesting game. Two very weird teams here. Palace can look terrible one week, and you mentioned it earlier, then they can beat Liverpool the next. I think Glasner is doing a pretty decent job here implementing the way he wants to play at Palace. They generated over 2xG at Anfield. That's not nothing. One thing that really jumps out when these two play is when they play, they always score. 13 straight meetings between Palace and West Ham have seen both teams score, both teams find the back of the net. So I'm looking at both teams to score markets here. Minus 155, which is pricey, but given history, it's fair, I think. And then maybe a little something on this one. Full game over 2.5 at around minus 125.
Okay, Baza.
Yeah, tricky one. I left this one till last because I thought I'd see how tonight goes for West Ham. But then I got to the end of that game and thought, I'm not really sure what I thought I'd get out of that because, you know, West Ham get knocked out by Leverkusen in the end. But that wasn't anything out of the ordinary. West Ham game's good for goals. So you've talked about the head-to-head, Andrew. Both teams to score 5 of the last 6 in West Ham games. A few draws in there. 3 of the last 6 have been a draw for West Ham. Palace have had a couple of draws in their last 6 and both teams to score again. 4 of the last 6 games for Palace. So there's loads of sort of pointers towards the both teams to score. I do like that. But both teams have won just one win in the last 6. Both teams have just one win in the last 6. Neither team winning very often. Both hard to predict from one week to the next. I'm just going to take the draw here, Malcolm. I think the draw's got a live chance here. I think it'll be a close game. I'll take the draw. Palace v West Ham, 13-5, +260.
Okie doke. This was another game, a little bit like Burnley, where I didn't leave myself any options. I said on Sunday night, Barry, that I've been fading West Ham for months, and somehow not, even though they've been rubbish and won 4 out of 19, I don't ever seem to have made any money on fading them. I've been fading them very badly. But so this week is another opportunity to do so. And we know, and we've known for about 5 years, and it's not very complicated. The key to Crystal Palace is they're good players. I mean, it's not that, it's not rocket science. And their good players are fit. You saw it last week. You see Eze and Elise, and they caused loads and loads of problems. West Ham physically have taken a blow tonight. Psychologically have taken a blow tonight. And also that shite to start with. So a factor of all those things, Palace on a high. Palace can finish the season strong now. There's always one team who sort of gets away from the relegation zone and then can go and win 5 or 6. And Palace might just do that now. They can totally take the handbrake off. Glasner can impress himself a little bit. He can get a bit more of his identity onto this team with his premium players fit. So Palace at plus money here. This is a great chance to fade West Ham. I'll take Palace 15-13 +115. Next up is... this is a fascinating game, I reckon. It's the last Premier League game we're going to look at before we get across to the FA Cup. 4:30 on Sunday. Fulham take on Liverpool. Fulham are 9-2 +450. The draw is 15-4 +375. Liverpool 9-17 -188. I looked at thousands of markets in this game because there's all sorts of things caught my eye. Fulham are really, really lively. They've won 9 of 16 at home. They played well against Newcastle at home 2 weeks ago. I don't know if Newcastle were in the game at half time. Really should have been absolutely put to bed. Newcastle nicked it late on. But Fulham were good that day. Before that, the two home games, they'd be Tottenham 3-0, they'd be Brighton 3-0. Nothing wrong with that. Liverpool have gone out tonight again, physically and mentally. Bit of a drawback. Lost to Palace. Considered Fulham at 9-2, but I'm not brave enough to pull the trigger. I've already put one big dog in. And there was so much other stuff. I think this is your ladder game, whatever market you want to get into. And this is your, you see, Barry's smiling then. I've wrote down, Baz, you're 100% pulling out a corners ladder or a shots ladder or something like that. This is your build-a-bet game. If you want to build a bet on Sunday afternoon, you don't want to sit when you get over on the corners, over on the shots, over on the goalie saves, over on whatever. This is the game. It's going to finish 5-4 with loads of everything. So I had to get stuck into all of those markets. And I found one. It's dead boring. I've given this the big build-up for a 4-5 pick. the answer is Fulham shots. It's going to be a basketball match. The Fulham shots line is 10.5. So I'm just going to go over, Baz. I'm staying on the ground floor. I'm not getting up the ladder like you. You're the backdraft man. I'm sitting on the ground floor. Over 10.5 Fulham shots, 4-5, -125. Right, watch this, Andrew. Barry's going to pull out some really mad big ladder. Look at his face. He's so happy.
I can't wait.
I mean, you've got it right. I've went straight into the stats market for this one. And I wasn't going wild in terms of ladder, but I will climb a little bit. Just because I don't know what to make of Liverpool. Three without a win before tonight. Back-to-back blanks is the biggest concern. And then obviously again tonight they've scored, but it was from the penalty spot. Nothing from open play. No clean sheet in 9 games for Liverpool as well. I just don't want anything to do with Liverpool in terms of money line players at this point, where I've sort of went for Arsenal to bounce back. I'm not convinced by Liverpool at the moment. I really wasn't convinced by them tonight. The struggle to break down Atalanta tonight. Just couldn't get through them through the middle. Everything they did get was crosses into the box, which they made nothing of, and not impressed at all. Fulham a little hard to predict, but it doesn't matter who wins this. My pick can hit. And I've gone the opposite side to you. It's a stats pick, it's a shots pick, but I've gone for Liverpool shots, Malcolm. And I really like the line for it, because if there's one thing Liverpool will do, and this actually was one pick I've made that was scuppered a little bit by what happened tonight, because one thing Liverpool do every week is create lots of chances. At the moment, they're not taking them. Tonight, they didn't. They only had 10 shots on goal all night. That's the lowest they've had in a long, long time. The line for Liverpool shots this weekend is 19.5. So not shots on target, just shots on goal. Get even money, plus 100 for 19 and a half, over 19.5. They've had 20 or more shots in 8 of the last 10. And the two times they missed, so this doesn't include tonight, obviously, the two times they missed, they got 19, so they missed by just one. One of those was against City, where you'd obviously expect them to have less of the ball. And they can do it either way. If they're chasing a game, Fulham get ahead, which we see most weeks at the moment, Liverpool are conceding first. Fulham get ahead, Liverpool will get at them and will create those chances and get those shots. But also, you look at games where they have went and won. They won comfortably against Sheffield United. They had 29 shots on goal against Sheffield United, 30 against Brighton. So they've had some numbers where they've got up to, as I say, high 20s. I just don't think 20 is a big starting point. So I'm going to take Liverpool over 19 and a half shots at evens. I'm going to take a bit of a big jump. I'm going to take over 23.5 shots at 3-1. And I'm also on over 27.5 shots at 7-1, Malcolm. Whatever happens in this game, if Liverpool get ahead, they won't take the foot off the pedal. Goal difference could still come into play. There's a long way to go still in this title race. It's not over. And if they get behind, they'll be at them. I think tonight was a little bit of an anomaly in terms of the shots created. There came a point where Liverpool looked resigned to exit in that competition tonight and just didn't really try. I don't think that's going to be the case against Fulham at the weekend. So, yeah, Liverpool shots to the moon.
But that is a Serie A Italian defence in a game where they're already 3-0 up, ostensibly. So the fact that they just played a little bit of Catenaccio, that's Italian for padlock, Barry, that means. Cultural. It's edutainment, this is. It's edutainment, everybody. Andrew, Fulham, Liverpool.
Anything with a Catenaccio reference, I'm here for. But, like, seriously, like, what a crazy league. So, like, prior to Newcastle's beatdown of Spurs, I would have said that the game that Fulham gave Tottenham was their toughest to date. They were perfect, flawless in that 3-0 win that you mentioned earlier. Fulham, 4 points from Arsenal, 4 points from Spurs. I know Fulham is 12th going into the match week, but I think Silva has done an exceptional job at the Cottage. He has not, however, got a ton of positive results against Klopp, against Liverpool, 1-10 versus Klopp. And I mean, this game, this weekend, this is Liverpool's season. If they can get a result here, or if they can't get a result, rather, their Prem chase is basically done. The squad is relatively healthy. They're coming off, you know, now two incredibly rough results, but that game against Palace, where they generated something north of 3 expected goals, a bit of an anomaly. I'm like you guys. I was all over the map. I was all over the shop with this one. I was in both sides. I was in anytime goal scorer markets, but, like, you know, it's their confidence with the likes of Darwin Nunez, Gakpo, whomever else. So this is just throwing stuff against the wall, like just where desperation is in the mix. I have to go Liverpool -1. And this is a guy that was capping the Fulham money line because they're a live dog this weekend. But with that push in play, got to go with Liverpool -1 here.
Okay. Love that, Andrew. Right. Premier League done. We will move across to the FA Cup semi-finals at weird times. The FA made that announcement today where they're scrapping all the replays and completely mangled the tournament even further without consulting anyone. Big well done to everyone concerned there. First game here is Saturday afternoon. It is 5:15, so 12:15 Eastern time. Manchester City taking on Chelsea. Manchester City are 3-5. -166, draw 16-5 +320, Chelsea are 17-4 +425. That is the 90-minute betting. To qualify, Man City are 3-10 -300, Chelsea 12-5 +240. Barry, Chelsea City.
I've got what I really like. Yeah, I do like this one. A good price, and probably something not entirely obvious, really, when you come into to this Man City at home. Obviously, don't lose many games. So very rare we come into a Man City home game thinking, how do we fade Man City? But it's what I wanted to do here.
The two have faced...
Well, sorry, yeah, they're not at the Etihad. Yeah, yeah.
Well, to be fair, they play as many games there as they do anywhere else.
Very true. They've played twice already, two draws, 1-1 at the Etihad, 4-4 at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea have now gone 12 games without defeat inside 90 minutes. I think the only defeat they've had in the last 12 was the League Cup defeat to Liverpool. Five draws in the 12 games, though, so plenty of pointers towards the draws in the head-to-head and the recent form for Chelsea. My initial thought, though, as I said, was fade Man City, because after last night's 120 minutes, elimination from the Champions League, again, physically, psychologically, that's a blow. And City will, of course, they'll want to win anything that they're in, any trophy they're in, City want to win it. But this was always going to be the lowest priority of those three. And the Premier League is the one they really got to go for. They want to wrap up that fourth in a row, break that record. I'm not saying they're going to not try here, but the FA Cup isn't as important to them as it possibly is to Chelsea. And I think they might make changes, and some of that might be forced upon them because they ran out of steam last night. They took off Haaland, they took off De Bruyne, and that's when they're chasing a game, needing a goal. They know penalties is potentially coming up. And Pep Guardiola said at the end, he took both of them off because they said they had nothing left. They were running on empty. At the weekend last week, Rodri said the same thing after the game. He was interviewed, said he needs a rest, absolutely running on empty. And I think the number of games might be starting to take its toll a little bit. And if Pep thinks that's the case and he's going to prioritise something, it's not going to be this game. It's going to be the Brighton game in midweek. So I'm not saying they're going to take it easy, but there's potential that they could rest a few or they may have to rest a few. Chelsea will come in a little bit fresher. They did play on Monday, so not a massive difference. City have got enough. Whatever team they put out, they've got enough to beat Chelsea. And whilst I'm trying to fade City here, I want to give myself an out if City do go and get a win. So City can win, but they can win it 3-2 or 4-3 because my pick here is Chelsea goals. It's a Chelsea team total over 1.5, 2-1 plus 200. Chelsea have scored two or more goals in 8 straight games now. They're absolutely flying at that end of the pitch. And Man City don't keep many clean sheets. We say this over and over again. You can always get a goal against Man City. I think Chelsea can get two. So Man City v Chelsea. Chelsea over 1.5 goals at 2-1 for me, Malcolm.
Your team totals were on fire this week, Barry. So I wouldn't be betting against that. Andrew, what do you feel about this one?
Yeah, Chelsea's been, you know, they've been the butt of many jokes this season. But they're slowly and surely sort of turning things around. Cole Palmer, obviously an incredible season, an incredible game last time out. But I sort of agree. Like, I think if Chelsea can make a deeper push here and win this cup, like, that is a real strong feather in Pochettino's cap. It's tough to pick something on the three-way money line here just inside of 90 minutes. So I kind of like the total here, but I'm going under 3. I think this one is a bit cagey. Minus 110 on either side of the total, but with a flat 3 on the board here, I kind of like the under. I do sort of see, like, maybe Chelsea has a loud dog to advance here, but I'm not going to play that. Under 3, minus 110 for me here.
Lee's thrown out Cole Palmer over 1.5 shots on target at 11-4. That's a great price. I gave Palmer out as my goal scorer last week on the show. Cashed on Monday night, so never got a chance to flex that one. I'm in complete and utter crossfire with you here, Andrew. I just said those two Man City Chelsea games, we've seen a 4-4 for a start, but the 1-1, Chelsea seem to be able to have this system a bit like when Newcastle could dismantle Tottenham at home. Chelsea seemed to be able to get at Manchester City. And even though that game finished 1-1, Chelsea missed some glorious chances. And they were all similar. You're getting down the wing and pull it back to someone who's unmarked on the penalty spot. Happened about 7 times. So, again, a bit like Baz, I think there's goals in it. But I like the safety net of maybe Manchester City can make changes and get at them. So over 3.5 was my pick. Because like I say, we saw 4-4, and I thought the 1-1 was better value. It was value for more goals than just the two. That's at 11-8 plus 137.
One of us final game. Very, very happy with that play.
It quite often happens, Andrew, where me and Marlock are on complete opposite sides. It's not unusual on this show that we can be complete opposites on it. People have just got to decide who makes the most compelling argument.
Yeah, all the grown-ups follow me and all the teenagers follow Barry. That's how we hear that one. Yeah. Sunday, 3:30 Sunday afternoon, which is 10:30 Eastern time, Coventry City taking on Manchester United. Coventry are 17-4 plus 425. The draw is 15-4 plus 375. Manchester United are 1-2 minus 200. And to qualify, Cov are 11-4 plus 275. Manchester United 1-4 minus 400. So what we've got here, we've got one team playing at a lower level. A ragtag bunch of misfits trying to spring a surprise. And they're going to take on Coventry City, Wembley here. Andrew, lead us off with Coventry v Man United. I planned that joke all day. Did it go well?
Very good joke. Look, the first time these two have played since 2007 in the League Cup, Coventry won that day at Old Trafford. But honestly, the last time I even paid any attention to Coventry was back in the Mustafa Hadji days, so I can't really in good faith come up with a decent play that the audience should tail, but you just got to be, and you mentioned it earlier, you got to be impressed with the away win to Wolves to even get to this point. And it's just that little bit of magic that can make a cup run like this so fun. So I know they've not actually played well since that win against Wolves to get to this point, but how can you not take a spread here? Plus one on Coventry City at even money. I'd like to think Wembley will be absolutely rocking for this one, and any neutral will be back in Coventry City. So why not plus one here?
Yes, Andrew. One tick in a box for Coventry. Baz, put a second tick in that box. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, the problem for Coventry is not the perfect preparation. They've lost the last two in the league and pretty much blown any hopes of a playoff spot. Maybe they're throwing all their eggs into this basket, just full throttle at this semi-final. I've thought since the moment the draw was made, Coventry would have a real live chance against Man United here, particularly if they play like they did against Wolves. And that still stands. I've had a few people coming on socials and asking me, do you think Coventry can get anything against Man United? Absolutely. Anybody can get a result against Man United at the moment. I did think Coventry would be slightly bigger price. And the problem with Man United is you just don't know what you're getting. It seems they can only really turn up against Liverpool, and then beyond that, you just don't know what you're going to get. Impossible to back Man United at the moment. No way would I be taking them at odds on against anyone, even a championship side. It's a bit of a cop-out for me again, Malcolm, though. I've gone for the both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. Coventry have got tons of goals in their games lately. Over 2.5 hit 12 in a row for Coventry now. I know it's a different division, but Man United will concede goals most weeks. Both teams to score is hitting regularly for them. The pick for me, without taking a side in this one, going to my head, Malcolm, if I had to pick a side, I'd take Coventry at the prices over Man United at 1-2. But the pick for me, Coventry Man United, will be over 2.5 and both teams to score at 5-6 plus 120, minus 120. Sorry.
I had a big omen on Wednesday night, Baz. As you know, I took the casino to Hinckley in Leicestershire. I was miles away from home. I wasn't very happy. Got back at 5 a.m. For the Waste Management Services Conference. Whoa, rock and roll that was. But Hinckley's favourite son, Barry, is Keith Houchin. Keith Houchin scored that diving header for Coventry City in the FA Cup final in 1987. So what's the chances? I mean, it almost forced myself into picking, like I was going to do anything else here. Coventry have beaten better teams than Man United this season. Wolves, Maidstone. Give me Coventry at 17-4 plus 425. I mean, I've got no interest in backing Man United whatsoever. I'll just take Coventry because they're better. Right, okay. 7 Premier League games, 2 FA Cup games in the hatch. We're into the exotic stuff. An accumulator or a parlay to you, Andrew. Anytime goal scorer and an underdog. Lead us off with your best stuff, Andrew.
I mean, the underdogs have been addressed already. I think Luton has a puncher's chance here at home against an underwhelming side. So for a dog from the weekend board, Luton plus 205, 2-1 in that neighborhood. But like you said, like if you want to swing for the fences, why not Wolves at 6-1 against a very deflated Arsenal side? Anytime goal scorer markets, bear with me here. Jordan Ayew at plus 390. The value is too good here. Ayew has scored more goals against West Ham than anyone else in the Prem except for Arsenal. And compared to other forwards on the Palace side on that board, Odson, Edward, Mateta, both around plus 180. I'll roll the dice with Ayew in this market here. We talked about how frequently there's goals in that matchup against the Hammers. Parlay, this is my death by 1,000 paper cuts, my ticky-tacka parlay, if you will. Sheffield United, Burnley, over 1.5. Everton down to over half a goal. Fulham, Liverpool, over 2. Villa down to a pick'em on the spread. And for those four legs cash at a modest, I'll say, but a modest plus 140 on that four-legger.
Okay, thank you very much. Baz, what have you fetched out for us?
My underdog pick this week is exactly the same as Andrew. I think Luton are the best underdog on the card at the prices to beat Brentford. So Luton will be my underdog of the week. I was very tempted to put Coventry down there as my option. And I don't mind a go on Wolves as well. So I like that one. My scorer, far less creative. I do like that suggestion for Jordan Ayew. I've gone for Watkins, a bit of a more obvious one. 21-20, plus 105 for an anytime scorer. And 4-1 first goal, Watkins. I fancy Villa this weekend, so Watkins was an auto pick. My scorer for the last couple of weeks has been a non-runner, Malcolm. I picked Foden in the last 2 weeks, and both weeks he's started on the bench and hasn't even made it onto the pitch. So hopefully Watkins actually starts this week. And my parlay, my acca for this week, is a four-game, both teams to score accumulator. Luton v Brentford, Sheffield United Burnley, Everton v Forest, Palace v West Ham. What a horrible bunch of games those are. But both teams are going to score in each of them. 6-1 for those four. So that's Luton, Brentford, Sheffield United, Burnley, Everton, Forest, Palace, West Ham. Both teams to score accumulator. 6-1.
Nice one, Baz. Cree has joined us late on. He wants a bit of City this weekend. You'll have to go back and catch up with all of that, Cree. I've got two accumulators. One for the sensible amongst us and one for the insane amongst us. My sensible one is a straight-up moneyline treble on Crystal Palace, Aston Villa and Burnley. That pays 9-1. The insane one is a moneyline double on Coventry and Wolves at 45-1. So get that in. Anytime goal scorer, Chris Wood. Come on. Everyone wants Everton to get relegated. And one of Newcastle's favourite sons, Chris Wood. 7-1, Chris Wood. Header from a corner, 5-2 anytime. And in my underdog, I got loads to choose from, but I've just covered Coventry and Wolves. You two boys have taken Luton. So I will go with Nottingham Forest due to that beautiful, succinct and verbose handicap that Dave Horan's duffel coat earlier on gave us. Forest to turn Everton over are 11-4 plus 275. And that, with 20 seconds left before the hour, is the show in the books. Andrew, is there anything else you want to tell the people? Do you want to tell us where we can find you on socials, etc.?
At @Chalk_Ninja on Twitter, or X as it's known now. We do a podcast that drops wherever podcasts can be found and on YouTube every Wednesday. It's called The Huddle, me and Tony Farmer. And yeah, just glad that Tottenham has the weekend off.
Excellent. We haven't talked about that nearly enough, actually. Luckily, we've had plenty games to let you off the hook there, Andrew. I enjoyed it, though. Baz, anything else you want to tell the people?
No, that's all for me. Just thanks to Andrew for joining us. It's been good to have somebody else on. Cheers for spending the time with us this evening.
It's been a blast, fellas. Thanks for letting me be the third wheel.
Meg and Baz will be back on Sunday night because there is midweek prem next week. What's going on Tuesday?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay, so we'll have to do Sunday night. I've got quite a good story to tell, Baz, but it might involve a very sick child. So I'm going to have to give it a little bit of thought and maybe run it past some people. And if it's family friendly, I'll tell it on Sunday night. If it's totally over the line, I might have to leave it. But it is pretty good. You'll enjoy it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Everyone in the chat. The chat was buzzing as well. Lee, Courtney, Cree. We caught the end. Callum, unlucky Callum. Cheer up. Koisty, not seen Koisty for a little while. Who else joined us earlier on? James Mafia, didn't mention him earlier on. So, oh, and Shane as well. Shane was in. So, yeah, we do appreciate all of that. Kyle Wilcox was first in tonight. It does make the show 1,000 times better. So, as always, like, rate, review, thumbs up, 5-star. Subscribe on Twitter because Barry needs a helicopter. And I think that's it. Apart from that, we're done. We'll be back, I reckon, 10 o'clock on Sunday, maybe earlier. But we'll schedule it, so keep your eyes peeled. In the meantime, we will see you down the road. Cheers.